Let us pray. Disruptive Spirit, open our minds as we seek understanding this day. Open also our hearts that we might share the light and love of Christ with all in this troubled world. Amen. In the past year, surprise, surprise, we've talked a lot about Jesus. We've talked about the kind of man he was, the kind of savior that he was. We know well the Christ who loved, who had compassion for his fellow human beings. We know deeply the Christ who teaches us how we might be in right relationship, not just with God, but with one another. The Jesus we don't know so well, though we've talked about him on occasion, is the man, the son of a carpenter. But even if we don't know the human Christ terribly well, we assume much about his character. Like the divine Christ, we assume that the human Jesus represents the best way of being human. As though he doesn't suffer from the same setbacks that we have, we assume him to be calm and gentle, patient and without prejudice. When we look at our own lives, we would be lying if we couldn't pick out times when we were more volatile, when we were short with those that we loved or even those that we didn't know. We'd be fooling ourselves if part of our coming up in this world didn't include some prejudice about our neighbors, whether it was racism, elitism, believing that those people, whoever those people might be, are all a certain way. But part of our maturing, both in faith and in life, has meant setting aside those long-held prejudices, seeing people for who they are as a person and not labeling them based on how we think they should be. And maybe we do this because of our faith. Because we've always seen Christ to be open and embracing, that we should ourselves be like Christ someday. The truth is that the Jesus we expect, the Christ that we've come to know, wasn't always embracing and inclusive, completely without prejudice. He grew up in a world where people believed that some groups were just plain better than others, more deserving of the others. It was part of his parents' world. And knowing the influence that a parent has on our lives, we must accept that it became a part of Jesus' life and his world as well. Then enter today's gospel reading, at least the first half of it. Jesus was going around in the region of Tyre. He was trying to escape the crowds because he had become so popular, and so he entered a house. But as the reading said, he could not remain hidden. A Syrophoenician woman with a sick and dying daughter found him out and came to him. She came to him begging for his blessing. Now this is where our expectations kick in. We assume that Jesus, who just loves healing, who just loves helping people, would do something amazing, something awe-inspiring, and heal this woman's daughter. But how could he? This was a Syrophoenician woman, my goodness. What a dirty people, less than people even. What dogs these Syrophoenicians were. Dogs. Not worthy of the food on the children's plate. This is Jesus talking here. The compassionate Christ, the loving companion, the great embracer, and he's likening this woman, not just this woman, her whole people, to dogs. Now, yes, with some clever back and forth, this Syrophoenician woman convinced Jesus that dogs deserve at least the crumbs, don't they? And yes, Jesus does eventually heal her daughter. But why did we take this winding road to get from begging for blessing to healing. Some suggest that Jesus always intended to heal this child, but is in fact offering a teachable moment. That all people are worthy of God's love and not just the Israelites. And so he goes through this rigmarole to teach us, right? But who was he teaching in those days? His disciples? The great crowd that he had just recently escaped? No. All that we have in this house, as far as the passage says, is Jesus and a Syrophoenician woman. Well, no, that's not entirely true. Taking up most of the house would be the prejudice that was handed down to Christ regarding Syrophoenicians. It might be hard to accept, but if we acknowledge Jesus Christ as wholly divine and wholly human, then we can accept that sometimes, Jesus was a jerk. That's hard to hear, but sometimes he was. Like us, like anyone, he grew up hearing stories of prejudice from his parents, or on the playground, or in the news of the day. He was taught that Syrophoenicians weren't people, that they were dogs unworthy of care and compassion. This is not the Jesus that we expect. This is not the Christ that we know, and yet there he is. Now the news isn't all bad, because just like us, Jesus learned to overcome his prejudice and offer his hand for help. And thus, the Christ who accepted regardless of who they were and where people came from was born. And we are thankful for that, and we try to live into that embracing Christ. So why does this matter to us today? Why is talking about Christ overcoming his own prejudices an important piece of Scripture that we need to hear today? What does a woman crying to Christ about her dying child have to do with us today? Because Syrian children are dying, and their mothers are weeping at the loss. Because refugees are screaming for help from a sinking boat. Because the world is treating them like dogs. We talk about the Jesus that we didn't expect in today's reading, because as Christians, we are taught that Christ offered his hand freely to anyone. He didn't ask if they deserved it. And the one time that he did, he was made humble because of his inherited arrogance. Those who would have us stay out of issues like this ask things like, if the boat is so dangerous, why get in? For all that is good, why put your children in that boat if it isn't safe? But the real question that we have to ask, not them, but ourselves, the question that many are asking this week is, how dangerous is the country they're running from? We can't grasp that. At least many of us struggle to grasp understanding here. Because we don't live in fear of being taken in the night. We don't live in the reality where we have to hide who we are so that we don't get shot in the street. We don't live in a country where putting our children on a leaky boat is safer than the country that we call home. As I'm sure was the case with many of you this week, images of children washing up on a beach was prominent either on your Facebook feeds or on the news. As I scrolled through, I saw image after image, but I also saw the accompanying comments, and I gotta say, it was kind of disgraceful. Some said, those people need to stop fighting. Others said, thank God I live in Canada. But the comment that made me stop, made me realize that we aren't the people that Christ, that God expects us to be, was this. I get that it's bad, but do we really need to see pictures of this? Do we really need to see pictures of dead kids filling our Facebook feeds? Yes, Because just as the Syrophoenician woman ran to Christ about her dying daughter, the woman who wouldn't be silenced, who would not be turned away, we cannot allow the cries of those children to go unheard. We can't allow their plight to go unseen. Along with the tragic pictures of children on the beach and parents weeping, there was one other image, a comic strip of all things, that captured what the world is facing. It had four men in a boat, two at the front and two at the back. The back of the boat had a hole in it, and so the two men at the back were bailing water like crazy, trying to stop the boat from sinking. Two men at the front, they sat comfortably. "Thank God I'm not at that end of the boat," they said. The world is sinking. And as created beings, we are bound to one another by the words found in our Proverbs reading today. The rich and the poor have this in common: the Lord is the maker of them all. And because of that bond, we are called to heal, clothe, feed, and embrace our neighbors both near and far. Now, all this isn't meant to guilt us into action. Rather, it should be a reminder to us that our call as Christians is to mend this broken world through prayer and through action. We are called to be bearers of the light. But all this talk about refugees, all this talk about the Christ that we know and the Christ that we've come to know, it reminds me of one other story. It's the story of a young woman and her husband and their newborn child. Their country's government feared rebellion and the rise of a new leader, and so the military set about killing all the children. Fearing for their newborn's life, this new family fled their home country and became refugees in the country of Egypt. That child grew up and in time returned home, bringing a message of love, compassion, and justice seeking. As we welcome that refugee Christ into our heart, let us do no less with the children of God fleeing in fear, seeking in hope a home where they can be safe. Let us open our hearts to all of God's children. Let us not allow them to be silenced. Let us be there for them. One people. Amen. It's a rough message, so we're going to take a minute before we go into this strangely peppy tune. When I prepared the bulletin this week, early in the week, I wasn't prepared for what was coming. I wasn't prepared for the pain and the hurt in the world. It shouldn't take those images of children washing up on a beach for us to act. And if we don't act in the face of them, there is a problem. God is calling to us now. The Holy Spirit is calling to us now. Make this world better, because it can't get much worse.